May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Serve. It's the last word in our mission statement, connect, grow, serve. And I'm going to address it today. The fuller statement is, we serve God by serving others. We serve God by serving others. My opening question is, why serve people at all? I mean, some will say, why should I help those people? They caused all their own problems, and they still do it. They don't deserve any help. And then others say it's a Christian duty to help the less fortunate. And actually, and frankly, I'm troubled by both responses. So let me explain by contrasting two life stories. First, there is Sigmund Freud. Freud is generally considered the most influential psychotherapist who ever lived, though many of his theories have not held up very well. Armin M. Nicolai, MD, professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, tells us that Freud died at the age of 83, a bitter and much disillusioned man. Tragically, this Viennese physician had little compassion for the common person. Listen to what he wrote in 1918. He said, "I have found little that is good about human beings on the whole. In my experience, most of them are trash. No matter whether they publicly subscribe to this ethical doctrine or none at all. They're trash." Freud, not surprisingly, died friendless, having broken with each of his followers. A sad man. Contrast him, Freud, with Martin of Tours. William Barclay, in his commentary in Matthew, gives this sketch of Martin. He was a Roman soldier, and he was a Christian. On a cold winter's day, he was entering the city, and a beggar stopped him and asked for alms, for help. Martin had no money, but the beggar was blue and shivering in the cold, so Martin gave him what he could. He took off his cloak, his coat, you want to call it that, and he cut it in half and gave half to the beggar, and he kept half. That night, he had a dream in which he saw the heavenly places. Surrounding Jesus were all the angels. And Jesus was wearing this battered old Roman cloak, or at least half of it. And one of the angels said to him, "Master, why are you wearing this old battered cloak? Who gave it to you?" And Jesus answered softly, "My servant Martin gave it to me." You know, in the Missouri Synod, we use the St. Martin of Tours award to those who are for soldiers and those who have a servant. We give a special award using his name. The difference between these two men, Sigmund Freud and Martin, is that Martin was touched by Jesus, and Freud was not touched by Christ. Freud represents all of those who are separated from God, who are self-serving, and view their fellow human beings with a jaundiced eye, if not downright contempt. Martin of Tours, on the other hand, acts spontaneously, unconsciously, to aid a needy person. Not a matter of duty, no, but a generosity of spirit that springs from a grace-touched heart. Our special text for today is a troubling one for many reasons. It's about Judgment Day, a day that's certainly going to happen. Everyone in this room is going to be judged. Every one of us. We're going to face before the throne of God. The whole world will be judged. At first glance, it might appear that this section of Scripture is showing us that we're going to be saved by how good we were, by our works. But you have to look carefully at this text. Do we really merit heaven by serving and loving the needy? Now, if you look carefully, you'll see that the sheep and goats are separated before any mention of their works. They receive the blessing and inheritance or the lack of it before their righteous deeds are chronicled, before they're separated. The judgment brings the whole world together, all nations. And yet, it's the separation of sheep and goats. And sheep and goats are very similar animals, aren't they? I mean, where you see sheep, you generally see some goats, right? Not sheep versus wolves. There is no doubt where unbelievers are headed. They choose their destiny by rejecting Jesus Christ. Do you know people who have absolutely rejected Christ, don't want to hear about Christ? We feel sadness for those people because they're going to go to hell. Scriptures say it very clearly. We should strive to do everything we can to divert their path. But that's the truth. But this separation is between sheep and goats. And to me, it indicates a contrast between genuine Christians, sheep, and pretend Christians, hypocrites, goats. Notice that there are six mercies, surely illustrative and not exhaustive, okay? There's more than that. Those mentioned are giving food, drink, hospitality, clothing, nursing care, and visitation. Both groups, sheep and goats, are unaware that meeting the needs of the needy is actually meeting Jesus' needs. Those who do serve the needy do so sacrificially without concern for their status of these people, even when they appear to be not deserving of it. They may be inconvenienced, true servants, incur costs, and in some cases risk danger to themselves and to their family. But nevertheless, they are willing to put the needs of others ahead of their own. The goats, on the other hand, sin by omission. It's not so much that they do evil. In fact, they aren't evil-looking people to the average person. It's just that they don't do anything. They are self-serving. Now, one can imagine, on the other hand, that they're very aware of their good works. In fact, they probably catalog them and are ready to tell anybody, well, you know what I do? I give a lot to the church. I've helped this person. I do that, right? To show their goodness. And they argue, this is why I'm so blessed and why I'm going to heaven. But here's the difference. Man sees the outside. And we're often fooled. And it's not our place to judge. But God sees the inside. He sees the heart. You know what God's interested in? The motive. The motive. And He judges upon that. Now, if you're like me, you're alarmed by what I just said. I sin constantly the sin of omission. Are you with me? Countless times I've turned my back on needy people. Am I a goat? Am I headed for eternal punishment? Well, let me ask you this. Did Jesus die on a cross for my sins and for yours? Did He? Very good. And did He take the punishment of our sins, all of them? Yes. You and I have faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we repent frequently, don't we? You Yes, we do. We seek forgiveness that He's won for us. We ask Jesus to continually stimulate us to do good works. We do not want to be non-serving people. We are saved by grace. We are forgiven and accepted by grace. We believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and we've come to see our own good deeds for what they really are, paltry, insignificant in many ways, right? Not enough. But Jesus finishes our work, and He stimulates us. Notice, I want you to know something. Both the sheep and the goats are equally surprised that in meeting the needs of the poor, they're actually meeting the needs of Jesus and serving Him. The sheep are touched by an inexplicable grace that changes their whole mindset about people. Everyone is their neighbor. Really, no true Christian can have a superior attitude. We can't be snobs. We can't be arrogant. Why? Because we're saved by grace just like everybody else. Our whole mindset is we are no better than other people. Am I right about that? I think it's evident. It's evident. Jesus never looked down on anyone. And yet He was the greatest person who ever lived. He became a servant of all. As those with genuine faith in Jesus, how do we imitate Him and serve others? There's an old story about these four scholars who'd get together debating on what translation of the Bible they like. First one says, I like the King James Version. There's none better. Another one says, I like the ESV. It's a great translation. I think it's an improvement. Another one, a real snob of the group, says, I like this German theologian who made his own translation. It's not out for everybody, but it's the best. And the fourth one says, I like my mother's translation the best. The others chuckle. What is he talking about? His mother made a translation of the Bible. They stopped smiling when he said it this way. She translated each page of the Bible into her life. It's the most convincing translation I've ever seen. How do we become more like Jesus, the servant that He was? How do we model and imitate Him? We do it by regularly encountering Him, encountering Jesus. We encounter Him when we worship, when we read His Word, when we're in a Bible study, when we pray to Him. Encountering Jesus changes us. Vice versa, if you don't encounter Him or you cease encountering Him, you become generally less like Him. So what are the hallmarks of a kind of person who encounters Jesus regularly? I have four of them. There's a lot more hallmarks. The first hallmark of a person who is encountering Jesus regularly is generosity. Generosity. To whom much is given, much is expected. Christians are generous. Christians regularly in touch with Jesus are not tight-fisted with their money that God gave them. They're not stingy with their time. They don't find it impossible to put the needs of others ahead of their own because they've been touched by Christ. A second hallmark is a willingness to help others. Did you notice that the needs that are mentioned here are not beyond our reach to meet? Anybody can do these things. Can we feed the hungry? Yeah, we can. Can we give them a drink? Of course we can. We can welcome a stranger. We can clothe them with a winter coat if they need it. We can cheer the sick. We can visit a prisoner. These are not hard things to do, and I'm talking on an individual basis now. It's not a hard thing to do. We are fluent people. We have the time. We have the resources. meet a need, provide for that need as the Spirit guides. A third hallmark is that we are non-judgmental. That's right, we leave the judging to God. We strive not to make assumptions about people. We don't calculate whether they're worthy or not. So what if you're taken advantage of? I hear this all the time. What if you're taken advantage of? Well, you know, right out of the Scripture, God says, so what? So you're taken advantage of. It doesn't matter. He'll replenish us for our loss, either now or in eternity. He sends rain and sunshine on the wicked and the righteous. Remember, we've been touched with an inexplicable grace. He gives us a power to love like no other. Like no other. Finally, an encounter with Jesus leads us to desire to unite with others, to collectively serve people. This is where our mission statement comes in. We at Grace Lutheran Church want to connect people to Christ. We want to grow them up in Christ. And we together want to serve people as a collective, as a unit. That's why people who disconnect from the church, they're not helping us in these ministries. We've organized all our ministries along this. Is it serving people? Is it connecting people? It's helping them grow. Out of obedience to God and His grace to us. So let's not be derailed. Satan is in the division business. He wants to give you many reasons why you shouldn't connect with fellow Christians. You shouldn't join them in serving others. All right? He's got lots of reasons why we shouldn't do it. Did you see how that person treated me? They didn't smile at me. The pastor looked cross-eyed at me. Whatever, you know? All these things that we do that people say, well, I'm not important here. You are important here. We together can make a significant dent in the suffering of this world, at least in our little corner. Let's care for the poor, the alien, the prisoner, children who have no parents, the mentally afflicted, and the list can go on. Let's care for them. Let me ask you a question. Will your life count? Will your life count? Is there somebody in heaven going to say, I'm so glad you're here. You did this and you did that for me. Right? You got to serve somebody. If you just live for yourself, you're no good for anybody. And there won't be people applauding you. We're incredibly rich people. We can help people here in this way and that way. I know that because many of you do. Someone came out of the first service and said, you made me feel guilty. I said I was sorry. I shouldn't have. But I know that person was a servant of the Lord. So it just alerts us again that there's so much that we can do. And if we feel a little guilt, I think that's pretty normal. We feel guilt. I feel guilt when I go past a beggar, thinking it's the most loving thing to do because they're going to use it for a drink. It's not because they're taking advantage of me, but because they're going to use it for something that's going to hurt them. I'm not saying that we should be mindless about our service. But at the same time, sometimes take a risk with people. Take a risk and give them something. Let the Holy Spirit, He'll guide you on that. Imagine a church filled with grace-touched servants. Imagine that. I do. I imagine that. Let the love and kindness of this church become like a flood. Let us be known for it. And may many come to believe and love Jesus because of us. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen? Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always.